Good morning, brother.
Morning.
How are y'all today?
Good.
What a wonderful week we've had this week, and what a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning. All right, we're going to be going over question 11 again. We'll be in part B, just as a brief recap. Let me read the question first. What are the decrees of God? The decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His will, whereby for His own glory He has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Brief recap, last time we spoke on this, we concentrated on His eternal purpose. And through the study of the Scriptures, we found that His eternal purpose, from eternity past, He made a pact with Himself to redeem mankind. That He sent His only begotten Son, foreordained before the world began, to pay for the sins of His elect. Today, we will be looking at according to the counsel of His own will for His own glory. I want to start off this morning by reading the first two proof texts. And this is a very serious subject that we're getting into this morning, that I hope that you would pray along with me that God will give us understanding in this. Let's look at Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. Romans 11, 36. Let's actually start off in 35. It says, "Or who hath first given to him," speaking of God, "or it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Let's look also in the book of Daniel, chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. Speaking of the time when the Lord sent King Nebuchadnezzar to live as a wild beast in the field. And King Nebuchadnezzar speaking here in verse 35 says this, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are repudiated as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none could stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou?" Let's ask God to help us this morning in this. Father, we thank you for the day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to open up your word, Lord. We pray that you give us understanding this morning from the decrees that you have made, Lord, and enlighten our eyes and open our hearts, Lord, to see that you alone are the determining factor of everything that has happened in this world, and that we could have peace even in the midst of turmoil when we hear things of wars and rumors of wars, Lord, that you have ordained all these things to happen and you are in full control over it, and that we could have peace in this, Lord, because you hold all things in your hands. We pray for your Holy Spirit to give us insight this morning. Lord, help us. In Christ's name, we do ask these things. Amen. If we had a title for this morning, I would call it His Will for His Glory. Let's start in the book of Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. And there's one man I'd like to focus upon this morning as we go through this study. And this man is Judas Iscariot. Acts chapter 2, let's look at verse 22. Peter preaching here, he said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also knew. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. Now I want you to notice here, by his predeterminate counsel and by wicked hands ye have slain. We're going to get into this morning this two-place thing about the determined counsel of God and the foreknowledge and predetermined things in man's sins and how he is still responsible for what he has done, even though God has foreordained everything that will come to pass. Look at verse 36 also in chapter 2 here. Verse 36 says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Let's look at John chapter 13. Let's build upon this principle. Look at what the scripture says on these things. John 13, verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And we'll see this quite a few times where it says, where the scripture may be fulfilled. This cross reference right here, let's look at Psalm 41, verse 9. We're speaking of Judas here. Psalm 41, verse 9, it says, yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Now we see right here that what Judas did in John chapter 13, it was prophesied in the Old Testament that he would do this. Now, does this mean that God made him sin? No, it does not. He was a fallen creature that was dead in his trespasses and sins, that he did what naturally came to him. Let's look also at John chapter 17. Show another example of this. John chapter 17, verse 12, this is this chapter of his high priestly prayer. Jesus says here, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now, since the beginning of church history in the first century, there's been this argument against man's free will and God's sovereignty. Right here, we see that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So I would honestly say, knowing what the scripture teaches, that Judas was not one of God's elect children. Because if he was, he wouldn't have done what he done. And there's no way in the world the scripture could have foretold of what he'd done. So salvation was not for him. God passed over him. left him in his sins. But he used it for his own glory. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. Peter speaks of this very account. Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. And it says, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," and the number of the names together were about 120. "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was God to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as the field that is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take." And then they go on the rest of the chapter to call Matthias by casting lots to take over his thing. In Psalms, in Jeremiah, and Isaiah, prophecy after prophecy of what Judas would do, the 30 pieces of silver, him falling headlong and bursting asunder, him eating bread, the foreknowledge of God. Let's look at Psalm 69, verse 25, just to back up Acts chapter 2 right here to let you see exactly where it was coming from. Psalm 69, verse 25. And Peter actually quoting this verse right here. It says, "Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents." Speaking of Judas here again. Look also at Psalm 109, verse 8. "Let his days be few, and let another take his office." Let's turn to the book of Jude now. Me and Sister Diane was talking about this last week. And these are some hard truths to swallow that we're about to get into, brother. Jude, verse 3 and 4. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." See here it says that before of old, or foreordained unto this condemnation. Now, does this mean that God made them do this? No, it does not. But he foreordained that it would happen. And he actually uses man's sin to bring glory unto himself. And we'll go further to prove that. Let's look at Romans chapter 9. And this chapter has caused much contention in the church. But I hope by God's grace that he'd help us this morning in this. Because I'd like us to see something that's beautiful in the midst of all this. Romans chapter 9, verses 12 through 24. And it says, and it was said unto her, meaning Rebekah, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And then Paul, by the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, puts this next verse in here. It says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And this is the key to all of it right here in verse 16. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. If you have been saved from your sins this morning, it's not because of what you've done. It's not because of your intelligence. It's not because that you were smarter than the next guy sitting to you. It's by God's grace that he revealed his son to you. That's the only thing you have to boast of. Verse 17, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. So we see in verse 17 here that he rose up Pharaoh, a wicked king, that the scripture says that God hardened his heart time and time again in the book of Exodus. God used that for his own glory. Verse 18, therefore he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will, he hardeneth. Verse 19 here, again, the wisdom of God to put this verse in. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doeth he yet found fault? Because who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? I remember last year, Brother Jimmy preached a sermon on Psalms 37 and Psalm 73. And he talked about how the righteous have to go through so much hardship on this earth. And we look at the wicked, how they prosper. And sometimes we back up and say, Lord, why is that so? Because our reward is not in this world. Our reward is in the next life. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 45. What Paul was talking about here in Romans 9, I'd like you to see it in Isaiah. Isaiah 45 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Let's look at verse 5 through 10. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I have girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, O ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour forth down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, why, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? We see here where Paul was coming from. He was quoting this in Isaiah. That us that are in the potter's hands that have been made by him, we have no right. He said in Romans 9, he made some vessels unto honor, some unto dishonor. And these are hard truths. Look at verse 19 through 23 in this same chapter. The Lord says here, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, to seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped from the nations. And I'd have to say right here that those that were escaped are those of the one that the Lord revealed himself to. Those whom he loved. Those whom he poured out his blood for. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven images and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Ye, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. You can see right here it says, who hath declared this from ancient time? The declarations of our Lord. Let's look back in the book of Acts again. We've got two more scriptures. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verses 44 through 48. And it says that the next Sabbath they came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. If you recall in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says the gospel is a sweet savor unto them who are being saved, but it is a stench of death to those who are not. In verse 46 here it says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing that you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn into the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And in verse 48 right here it says, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now I honestly believe this, brother, and I believe the gospel is to be preached to those who believe and who do not believe. Those that belong to him will hear their shepherd's voice. They'll come to him. Those who do not believe, they will reject it and be further hardened. Let's close this morning in Psalms chapter 2. This beautiful psalm here, we're going to see a declaration and a plea. And I give this plea as well this morning. Let's look in verse 6. The Lord God, our Father, has said this right here. He said, yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, speaking of Jesus Christ. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and for the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. We see this reference to the potter again right here in Psalms chapter 2. And this is the plea. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. But blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the day, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to open up your word. Thank you for these truths that you have in here, Lord, that it is not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. Therefore, we could totally rest in your finished work on the cross, Lord, knowing that we don't have to earn anything to have favor with you, Lord. All we must do is be obedient to what you've already done for us. We've been set free from our sins, Lord, to where we could live in freedom. We could live in liberty because of what you have already paid for, Lord. Let us look into those things, Father. Let us not measure ourselves one against another, Lord, but look unto you of what you've already done for us all. We give you glory. We give you honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen.